Could we please take our Bibles, and we'll take a reading tonight from Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah 50. It's not a long chapter, so we'll read it together, the 11 verses of Isaiah 50, beginning at verse 1, please. Thus saith the Lord, where is the bill of your mother's divorcement, whom I have put away? Or which of my creditors is it to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquities have you sold yourselves, and for your transgressions is your mother put away. Wherefore, when I came, was there no man? When I called, was there none to answer? Is my hand shortened at all that it cannot redeem? Or have I no power to deliver? Behold, at my rebuke I dry up the sea. I make the rivers a wilderness. Their fish stinketh because there is no water, and dieth for thirst. I clothe the heavens with blackness, and I make sackcloth their covering. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they shall all wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness, and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord, and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand, ye shall lie down in sorrow. Amen. May God bless his word to our hearts. Let's have a moment to pray and to seek God's face for his help now as we come to his word. Father in heaven, we come to thee this evening, and it has done our hearts good to be in the house of God, to sing the praise of God together with these brethren and sisters. Lord, we praise you that you have saved and cleansed us, that we might thy channel be. Of all the uses, of all the purposes that we could be spending our time and energy for this evening, we thank thee, Lord, and we praise your holy name, that it is by your grace we come here to be a vessel unto the Lord our God. What a privilege, Lord. What a wonderful thing it is to be saved and to know we are redeemed. Oh, praise the Lord, redeemed forevermore. We come, Lord, now we come to thee, the one, Lord, by whose word the heavens were made. Lord, you spake and it was done. You commanded and it stood fast. Oh, Lord, what awesome power is thine, and how weak we are. And Lord, we come now seeking for the power of God. We come, Lord, seeking for the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, may you speak to us through thy word this evening. May you have a word for the people of God here. And whatever their heart, their souls need, oh, Lord, help me to preach faithfully and clearly. And, Lord, the work of application is thine. And so, Holy Spirit, bless this word. Presence yourself with us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1912, a Scottish Baptist pastor named John Harper was traveling to the United States at the invitation of the well-known Moody Church in Chicago. He was a widower, but he was traveling with his daughter Annie and his sister Jessie. This man was renowned as an experienced pastor and a very able preacher, particularly in the open air. And one source claims that it was the Moody Church's intention to call this man if he had planned to accept. But that call would never be accepted, because on the 15th of April, 1912, the ship on which John Harper was traveling, named the Titanic, struck an iceberg, and the result is well known to us all. And as the great ship began to go down, the actions of John Harper, Pastor Harper, spoke volumes about his character. He led his daughter to a lifeboat, and being a widower, he would have been entitled to join her, but he refused and he gave his seat up to someone else. And then it is reported that he went from person to person telling them about Christ. And even to one man who rejected his message, he gave him his life jacket and said, "You need this more than I do." And as the ship sank, Harper then found himself in the freezing cold waters of the Atlantic, floundering about through the debris with no realistic hope of rescue. As he suffered from hypothermia, he still was trying to share the gospel with as many souls as he could and challenge them with simple words and phrases like, "Are you saved?" And there was one man who, 4 years after the Titanic sank, testified at a survivors' meeting in Ontario. And he recounted an interaction with John Harper there in the water, in the freezing cold, in the pitch blackness, as the Titanic was now long gone under the surface. And Harper came bobbling over to him in the water and again said, "Are you saved?" When the man ignored him or rejected him, Harper said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Thankfully, the man got a second opportunity. Harper came back again and said, "Are you saved?" And again, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." At that survivors' meeting 4 years later, the man stood and said, "I am the last convert of John Harper." Because very shortly after that, John Harper succumbed to the elements, to the terrible circumstances. With his dying breath, Pastor John Harper, by multiple witnesses, is reported to have given a word in season. A word in season to him that is weary. This is the activity in which the speaker in Isaiah 50 and verse 4 is engaged. It says in that verse, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." I want to be, and I believe many of you want to be, that kind of Christian. The one who has been enabled by God to know how to give a word in season to one who is weary. I trust that you do want this. I must point out, perhaps to some who aren't seeing this as a priority or aren't considering it to be important, that Christians are to have this ministry. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 verse 2, "Be instant in season, out of season." And Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:15, "Be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is within you, with meekness and fear." Consider with me, therefore, this evening, what God has commanded us to do. This ministry which we are to have. I want to think this evening about Isaiah 50 and verse 4 under the title, "A Word in Season." And let's notice, first of all, the parties that are involved. First of all, we have to begin, of course, with the Lord God. That's where the verse begins. "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season." It is the Lord God who is named as the giver of the tongue of the learned. This is the Lord God, Jehovah, the self-existent, the eternal, infinite, unchangeable God, our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I want to turn to a reference where we find Abraham speaking to God, because it's in that place, Genesis 15, where we first find this particular title of Lord God. Genesis 15, and in the second verse in this chapter, Abraham speaks and reminds God of a promise that he had been given. Genesis 15, verse 2, "And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless?" As I've said, this is the first use of this title in Scripture. Abram is bringing a request to the one who has all power to give. God is the giver of all things. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. And Abraham was referencing a promise that God had given him in the past, saying, "In thee shall all the nations, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." And as yet, Abram had no seed, no son to continue his family line. And here he says, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me?" Well, men and women, you know, because of the word of God and from experience. If God promises something, he will give it. And we are right to bring the promises of God to him in prayer. And so let's think of Abram's pattern of asking God to give what he has promised. And then let's think of this matter of bringing a word in season. Why is it that the speaker in this verse says, "The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned"? Well, for you and I who are commanded to engage in this ministry, God has given us promises that he will equip us to bring a word in season. Consider Psalm 81 verse 10. "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." Or Exodus 4 verse 12, delivered to Moses, "Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say." God has promised to give his people the words that are needed in order to exercise this ministry, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. Whatever we must have, whatever we would desire, we must ask God. A very, very simple truth, but one that we so quickly forget in our daily practice. For when we want things, when we need things, so often we are going about our own motions and our own methods to acquire that thing instead of, firstly and foremost, asking the Lord God. Abraham knew the right way to go about it. The parties involved, then the second party is Christ. We have the Lord God, and then we have Christ, because it is Jesus Christ who is speaking in this verse. And how can we be sure of that? Well, we read verses 5 to 7 together, and let's read verse 5 and 6. "The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting." Who's that in verse 6? It's the Lord Jesus Christ on his way to the cross, suffering all of the agony and mockery of cruel men, suffering it, believer, for you and for me. It was for us that he took all the blows and all the shame. It was for us that he bore the humiliation of letting them pluck the beard off his face and press a crown of thorns on his head and mock him and strip the clothes off him in front of the crowd. He did that for us, and it's he who is speaking here. And what we read then in verse 4 is the testimony of Jesus Christ, the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, penned, yes, by Isaiah hundreds of years before the incarnation. But it's speaking about how God the Father, had qualified Jesus Christ for the work that he would do. And of course, Jesus Christ, the mediator between God and men, has three offices to fulfill: prophet, priest, and king. And when we read Isaiah 50 and verse 4, it does refer to the office of a prophet. That is what is in view, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. That's the prophet. Christ is the perfect prophet. The prophet, what is a prophet? It is one who speaks to men for God. One who reveals the word of God to men. And the prophet only has authority when speaking the word of God. His only remit is to speak the word of God, and Christ says that I should know how to speak a word in season. And all that knowledge, all that learning, all those words were given by God. Christ, therefore, is the perfect prophet. He perfectly reveals God. Our catechism tells us of the Lord Jesus, "Christ executes the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our salvation." Look at our text and notice two phrases. The first one, the tongue of the learned. Now you could say, "I learned something at school today," and that's the past tense of a verb. But here, this is an adjective. It's describing someone. When it says the tongue of the learned, it's saying the tongue of the disciple, the tongue of the one who has been taught. Now remember that. And then see a little later in the verse that I should know. And when you take these two phrases, we're taught something very important about the Lord Jesus Christ. We're taught about his attitude, that he had a teachable spirit, that in spite of the fact that he was truly God, he had a teachable spirit. Would you go with me, please, to the New Testament, John chapter 8, verse I want to look at a few verses there where we see this attitude shown. First of all, John 8 and verse 28. John 8 and verse 28. Christ is speaking to the Jews and the Pharisees, and he says, "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Look at verse 41. Oh, no, beg your pardon, verse 40. "But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham." Here's Jesus Christ, the perfect prophet, in the days of the flesh of his earthly ministry, and he testifies that he is speaking what his Father has taught him, verse 28, and he is speaking the truth that he has heard of God, verse 40. He's the perfect prophet. And he is our example. If we are to exercise the ministry of a word in season, bringing a word to those who are weary, we must do what Christ is doing here. We must not go to people with something that we have dreamed up. And while at times we might be tempted to say things that are impressive or complicated or things that are just interesting, our remit is to bring the word of God. And that's it. Because we have this ministry to bring a word in season to him that is weary. And what is the word? It's the word of God. And therefore, we should be like Christ. As we go about our daily business, we must bring people the word of God. And we need this teachable attitude. This is an attitude that we should exhibit not only when we're in church and when we're considering the word of God. But we should exhibit this attitude all the time. Because this is what it is to be truly Christ-like. A simple application of this is that if your colleagues think you're a know-it-all, you will be a less credible witness for Christ. You will hurt the opportunities that you will have to speak for the Lord because of the attitude you have to them, because you aren't willing to learn from anyone. The Lord Jesus Christ was teachable. The Son of God learned and said that he learned. And he spoke with such humility. When he was challenged about the words he was saying, he said, "These are the words I've learned from my Father." And this is what you and I should say. It's a good answer to have when people who are offended by the gospel say, "How dare you?" And then you say, "This is not my word. This is the word of God." We need to be teachable, and we need to have that attitude, that teachable attitude, so that others see that we are humble and that we are not delivering our own ideas, but the ideas of the Holy God. And that attitude is important because there are people out there who badly need a word in season. And we'll see the third party in the text. It's the weary one. It says, "A word in season to him that is weary." And that word means faint or tired or exhausted. It refers to a person who is under a burden. And what did Christ say to the burdened one? He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Why are sinners weary? Some sinners don't know. Perhaps they don't know they're weary. Perhaps they haven't taken stock of their soul and they have just blocked God out of their lives altogether. Sometimes it would be our job to go and tell them and show them how they're weary. They're weary because they're the servants of sin, and sin is a cruel master. Sinners are weary because they're constantly unsatisfied by all that this world has to offer. And as they go on and they get so sick and tired of what life has given them and disappointed them with, and they try something else and they try something else, and it's never ending. Sinners are weary because life in this fallen world is difficult and disappointing, and if we hadn't Christ, we would be just the same. Sinners are weary because they don't have Christ. And it's such people that need a word in season. Now, we've seen the parties involved. Look at the purpose that's intimated. In verse 4, it says, "That I should know how to speak a word in season." Christ is focused on the delivery of a word in season. The whole end result of all that God taught him was to speak, to preach, to be a prophet, and to bring the word of God to fallen man. Christ was the greatest preacher that the world has ever seen and will ever see. He was a real and visually ordinary man, but he was engaged in his father's business. Above all else, that was his great purpose. Consider these verses, Matthew 9:13, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Christ came to call the weary ones. John 6:38, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Now, as Christ's disciples, is this not also our purpose? Is this not also what we should long for, that we should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary? Yes, absolutely. We want to bring glory to our Father in heaven, and God is most glorified when sinners are saved. When we bring a word in season, we must be like Christ. We must be focused on this. We must be bringing the word of God. We mustn't try to comfort people with words that are merely kind or merely affectionate. We must bring them the word of God. That is where comfort is found. That is where a word for the weary one that will be a word in season is found. And it must be a word about the Lord Jesus Christ. It must be a word about the one who saves from sin, about the one who came to seek and to save that which is lost. It must be a word about one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the one who is made in like fashion as we are, the one who humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. That is the one who we need to bring. You know, we have all been tasked with this. The Great Commission is not for ministers and missionaries. It is for the whole church. And it is to us all, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel in Port Glenone. Preach the gospel in your job and in your school. By just having conversations. By just saying to someone, here's something for you. Would you read that? And I know that many of you do this. But I want to encourage you in this good work. This is the work that Jesus Christ was focused on. And as his disciples, this is our work too. What a privilege to tell sinners of him. To be in the place of the redeemed and calling others to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the purpose that's intimated. Look with me in the third place at how we should focus on this purpose and how we should hold it very highly, and we'll think of the priority that's implied, because in the end of the verse it says, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. There's a priority here, and you can see it. Gaining the knowledge of how to speak a word in season was done in the morning. Gaining the knowledge of how to speak to the weary one and speak to the sinner, the lost one, which is a difficult thing to do sometimes. It's hard just to find the words. And perhaps there's a person whose soul is weary, who's without Christ, and they're most opposed to the gospel and to you and to what you have to say. It won't be easy to speak to those people. How can we exercise this ministry well? By being like the Lord Jesus, who says of God the Father, he wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Here's the priority of learning. When it says he wakeneth morning by morning, that is that God is doing the wakening, and it's like an instructor wakening up his pupil. Wakening him up early in the day to learn and to study. And when it says he wakeneth mine ear, it speaks of the ear being opened and prepared to learn and to receive knowledge. For Christ, the Messiah, would be taught of God all throughout his life. His fellowship with the Father was unbroken. How often we go through our days and we have to say that we've gotten far from the Lord. We've not kept up the communication. It's become cold and we've become dull. Well, our priority must be on learning from God. Otherwise, we will not be equipped for this ministry. Let me give you an example of someone who you may well have heard of, a man called George Mueller. He goes through just exactly how busy he was, and yet testifies that his priority was meeting with God. Listen to this. I look upon it as a lost day when I have not had a good time over the Word of God. Friends often say, I have so much to do, so many people to see, I cannot find time for scripture study. Perhaps there are not many who have more to do than I. For more than half a century, I have never known one day when I have not had more business than I could get through. For 4 years, I have had annually about 30,000 letters, and most of these have passed through my own hands. Then, as pastor of a church with 1,200 believers, great has been my care. Besides, I have had charge of 5 immense orphanages. Also at my publishing depot, the printing and circulating of millions of tracts, books, and Bibles. But I have always made it a rule never to begin work until I have had a good season with God and His Word. The blessing I have received has been wonderful. Well, he puts me to shame easily. But the important thing, the priority is there. As the text says, he wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. This must be our priority. If we are to be like Christ and have the ability, the God-given ability, to speak a word in season to him that is weary, here's how we must go about it. It's all too easy to rush into work on a morning and just have a few abrupt words for someone, and then you think of what damage has been done. But if we are to be like Christ, we need to be wakened up to hear God. The flesh tends to be dull. The flesh tends to be spiritually sleepy, and we need to be wakened up. We need to be warmed up. We need to be sharpened up, and we need to hear God in order for this to happen. Brethren and sisters, there are lost people all around us. They're weary, and they need to hear the word of God. May we be encouraged tonight to be like Christ and to seek God that he would give us the tongue of the learned, that we would know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. You know, this is a very challenging text for me personally and for every student in the college. But I just pray tonight the Lord will impress it on your hearts. This is not a text for the preacher only. This is not a text for someone in Bible college. This is a text for every believer, everyone who can speak, and that's all of you. Just a few words to someone who's weary. May God bless it to your hearts. Let's just have just one moment of prayer, and then we'll ask our brother to come and bring the announcements, please. Oh, Father in heaven, we come to thee this evening. We thank you for thy holy and inspired word. How it does convict us, Lord, of our lack and our failure. And we pray, Lord, that you would give us grace to determine to go on with God and to walk with God and to make communion with God our priority. That we would meet with thee and that you would, as you did for Christ here, that you would waken us morning by morning. O Lord, your mercies to us are new every morning. Your faithfulness to us is great. And how often we poorly, poorly repay you as your people. We poorly repay you with our time and our attention. Forgive us for our sins, Lord. O Lord, help us to have this ministry, if it is even just a few words, simple words, in very ordinary language, Lord. That's all that really needs to be done, as long as it's the word of God. Lord, help us to be like Christ. Help us to have a word in season. Lord, I pray that you would impress this word on my heart. Lord, I pray that even from this congregation, as this is a word for every believer, yet, Lord, I pray there would be others who would feel the burden that God would lead them to speak full time, to preach as Christ preached, and to bring a word in season to him that is weary, and for that to be their life's occupation. Lord, I pray that you would impress upon someone, some people, the call of God to go and preach. And Lord, I ask that you would do this for the extension of your own kingdom, for there is a need. We are commanded to pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Lord, we pray for all our congregations tonight, those who meet for prayer this evening. And we do think, Lord, of those works that are needy, those works where it is difficult. Lord, we thank you for a healthy congregation here and a faithful group of people. Lord, we think of those works who are just not so blessed, and we ask that you would encourage them this evening Oh Lord, we pray just even now as Reverend Stewart is ministering in the word that you would be with him. Help him, Lord. Give him words from thyself. May he speak the word of God. Oh Lord, we just ask that you would bless our brother who comes with the announcements now. And as we begin our time of prayer, lead us on. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.